Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining me again for the Hot Lap Post. I'm not recording this intro again. Podcast. I'm, as ever, your slightly fucking slack-jawed host, Lee Stevens. Before we start talking about Formula One, which is what you're here to do, I want to get some stuff out of the way. Don't skip forward. It's not proper adverts. It's adverts just for me. If you want to help the podcast out, go to Must See Audio on Patreon. I tried changing the name of Must See Audio, so it was just like Lee Stevens, content creator. I can't do it, so it's still Must See Audio. I don't know whether I should rectify this or not. If any of you aren't like want to help the podcast out but don't like use Patreon, like let me know, and if it's worth me opening like a subscribe star or something else. Some of you freaks probably use OnlyFans. If you want me to do that, let me know. Not for pictures of me, for podcasts, because there is still stuff on OnlyFans that don't involve me getting naked and like rubbing myself erotically. So yeah, if some of you guys want to help the podcast out, but you use different platforms and you don't just want to go to Patreon just to help me out, then let me know. And like I say, if it's worth my while opening like new accounts, I will do that. But otherwise, easiest thing for everybody. Go and use Patreon. Loads of people use Patreon. We know we hate it. It's like Facebook. We all hate Facebook. We still use it sometimes. If you want to speak to me talking about social media, I don't use Facebook for this. But I do use Twitter and I do use Instagram on the reg. So if you want to speak to me on Instagram, I'm at a total shunt on Instagram. I'm not sure what my name is. It might just have Lee Stevens in the title at the moment as far as like profile name, but I'm sure at a total shunt will get you there. And on Twitter, I'm also at a total shunt. I believe my name on there is a variant of concern, Lee Stevens. So yeah, if you want to follow me on social media, I've been getting loads of new social media followers lately. It's been great speaking to you. I've had loads of you reaching out to me, telling me how much you're enjoying the Hot Lap podcast. Never feel bad about reaching out. Like, never feel like you're stupid. I had a couple of people say, oh, I didn't want to get in touch with you because they thought it would sound like I was fanboying and stuff like that, which is nonsense. I consider us all like a little community. The only difference is that one of us every week speaks for 45 minutes while the other listen like a cult leader. But seriously, like, it's really good. Like, it's good for me to know you guys are enjoying it. I'm enjoying doing Hot Lap. It's one of my most fun shows to do that I do. So I'm glad you guys are into it as well and all that type of stuff. Again, if you want to help the podcast out, which isn't necessarily monetary-wise, you can do something as simple as sharing the podcast. Share the podcast, like it. Leave a review. Reviews are so important because that's how we get higher up the iTunes chart, and that's how we catch up with like things like Missed Apex and Three Legs, Four Wheels. I mean, I'm already there anyway, but like, I'll take a Civil War on. And then you never know, we might be able to get ahead of WTF1. You know, I'd like that. I'd like that very much. So anyway, let's get on to talk about Formula One, shall we? Because that's what we're all here to do. This is a really weird thing to pop up as far as stories go, because I was playing the Formula One video game the other day. I don't like, I haven't been playing it for a while. I think this is the first season. I've been in and out of it, if I'm perfectly honest, and I'm absolutely determined to at least finish a whole season of it, because I can't remember whether I finished a season or not. I know this was a new season I started, because I started the whole GP2 thing and then went to F1, went to McLaren, and I just won the World Drivers' Championship in McLaren, and the Constructors is in the bag. So I'm determined to get the season finished, but I never play the challenges, which is what I might change, actually, because I did one of the challenges which stuck me in one of Fernando Alonso's old Renaults. Now, I was immediately hit by how little room they had in the cockpit, how close their hands were together, and how small the wheel was. I mean, I realise it's a video game, so I'm not going like this. Oh, isn't it fucking accurate? Because it's probably not. It's probably not accurate. But it did feel like more nimble. You could get it into corners better. It was more fun to play as that car than it was to play as a 2020 car. And I think Lewis Hamilton thinks that as well. See, the crazy thing about Formula One cars is, like, round about the V8 era, they were like 640 kilograms. Then when the cars changed in 2016, they went up to like 700 kilograms, and now we're at the 750 mark. So Lewis Hamilton has come out and said, I don't understand why the cars are getting heavier, particularly when, with all this talk about moving to a more sustainable future. See, me and Lewis differ with this, because I can understand why cars would be getting heavier as far if they're going in the more sustainable way, because you talk of batteries, top and bottom of it is batteries are heavier than fuel. But he goes on to talk about how the cars used to be lighter and more nimble, and how it was easier to race them. So I just wondered what you guys thought about it. There's no real story here. It's not like Lewis isn't sort of breaking anything like groundbreaking, but I couldn't help think that maybe part of this new formula should have been to try and shrink the cars back down, because I think there was an attraction to bigger cars, wasn't there? When we had the new rules in, there was definitely an attraction of, oh, right, the cars are going to be much bigger. That'll be cool. But the more I've thought about it, is the more I can't get past the fact that I really did like around the 2000s, mid-2000s, even up to, say, like 2007, 2008 even, when the cars were getting a bit bigger, but they had all the aero and stuff on them. Look, people hate those cars. I think they look great. Like Lewis's McLaren he won the world championship in, with that front wing where it goes over the nose. And I'm not saying we should rely more on aero, because it's definitely something we need to get away from. But they just looked better. They looked like racing cars. And the idea of a racing car is to make something as small and light and as nimble as you possibly can. I'm very excited about the new rules, so I'm not going to start hating on the new rules before they even turn up. But it's just something worth thinking about. So I'd like to know from you guys, what would you prefer? Would you prefer these big hulking cars that we're going to have with the big wheels and the, we think they're even going to probably have more in common, I would have thought, with, say, like an old Mansell Williams next year than they have with like the 2008 cars I'm talking about. 2005 cars, even like the really tiny ones. But we are having problems with places like Monaco, and we are having problems with overtaking, and you can make the cars race each other closely, and that's what they're hopefully trying to do. But having cars that could race each other closely and just making the circuits bigger as far for overtaking purposes by shrinking the cars down, that feels like it should be the way forward. I do think sustainability and batteries gets in the way of that, because with using like energy recovery and stuff, which if we're all perfectly honest, it's just fucking lip service when it comes to Formula One. And I would argue, a gimmick when it comes to Formula E, because you can like the racing in Formula E all you like. Go do you. I've tried watching Formula E. I can't get into it. To me, Formula E feels like a couple of steps above, what was it called? Formula A? Was it Formula A when they did the nations and stuff like that? I just can't get into it, I'm afraid. But if you're enjoying it, great. But the top and bottom of it is, when they did a full lap around Monaco, the Formula E cars lapped at the same pace as around about 1960s Formula One cars. I know there's some of you that are going, oh, that's fucking, I don't believe that. Ugh. It's fucking correct, because I checked it. And that's not, to me, that's not good. That suggests, like, for some to switch over, I would expect it to be much closer to consider it viable. Formula E does not look or feel like a premier racing class to me. So take that how you will. I personally think that Formula One should have gone down the road of not using energy recovery, not using battery power, and making fuel engines, like solid fuel engines, more... See, I don't want to say road relevant, because I don't want it to be road relevant. I'm not interested in being road relevant. If road cars can borrow from Formula One, fucking great. It should be a test bed. But I don't like... It's the same reason, like Formula E using road tyres. Fuck that. Put slicks on them. Put slicks on them, you've instantly got a better racing car. So that to me is a gimmick at that point. If it's something as simple as merely just changing the fucking tyres to actual racing tyres, you go watch Sunday afternoon racing, whatever your local like motorsports track is. It could be bikes, it could be cars, it could be karting. None of them fuckers are going to be using road tyres, because it doesn't make sense for racing. They're not for fucking racing. That's why they're called road tyres. But this idea of taking the electronic recovery out of Formula One cars, making the engines as fuel efficient as humanly possible. Like, so, you know, it's minuscule amounts of fuel that can still make cars go, like, touching at, like, 230 miles an hour in a straight line, that have these ridiculous acceleration. And I'm convinced you can mitigate that with weight, like, weight to carbon footprint, if you want. I'd like to know what you guys think. Personally, I think the electric cars, especially for racing, is like, it's a step sideways or diagonally, maybe not forward. It's like diagonally until we start using hydrogen, and that's the future of fuel for me. Because unless we can think of something else, it's two things with hydrogen. It's easier to not easier to obtain. It's quite difficult. That's the problem. But it's easier to like put into your vehicle, because you can still use the similar delivery methods to how we've been used to using fuel all the time, and it's faster to fill your car up than it is charging something. Even now, look at your phones. It still takes obviously, if you've got a good USB-C phone like Android. Apple don't seem to be getting on board with this just yet, but you can plug a USB-C cable into your phone and charge it in an hour to like full, like 100%, which is great. But it's a phone. But I don't use that, so I've got an Apple device, and if I leave that on for an hour, I probably got like 20%, 30%, something like that. You know, it's the technology isn't there for like rapid charging. Cars, and then you've got the disposal of the batteries and stuff like that. So it's, I'm not being a fucking, we shouldn't do anything about climate change, because there is definitely environmental issues that we need to look at. I would fall more towards waste than I would climate change. I think the two help each other out a lot. But what are you going to do with all the batteries, guys? we can't recycle these things, and we're producing lots of batteries. Seems odd to me. But that's just my fucking 50 pence worth. So if you'd like to tell me what sort of Formula One cars you think we should be driving, and if the new rules are doing enough or too much, then like let me know. Enough or too little, let me know. We're going to stick with Lewis Hamilton for a little bit because he's the world motherfucking champion. He said he doesn't want to race past 40. Past 40. Now, he is... how old is Lewis? He's younger than I am. I'm 38. I'm 39 in July. Is Lewis 36 or 37? Let's look. Lewis. I didn't even need to put Hamilton in. That's how famous Lewis Hamilton is that you don't actually have to put his name into a search engine. You just put Lewis. I fucking did it on Twitter. God, fucking, fuck it. Why? Have your birthday on Twitter, Lewis. Help me here. Oh, no, Twitter was the first recommendation. Don't worry, guys. We're getting there. We're getting there. It's all padding. Right, Lewis is 36 years of age. On January as well. So, yeah, he's actually 36. It's not even like he's got a birthday coming up to put him at 37 soon. So he's he doesn't want to race past 40. Now, I think... I think he's probably onto something. I think most drivers that stick around after 40 are probably on their way out. You know, it seems to be the time when it's time to go. I'm happy Fernando's back. I know that's what you're going to say, but Fernando, you wanted Fernando, and you were happy when Jenson Button was there. Yeah. But that's what it is. I'm a fucking fanboy sometimes, aren't I? We all fanboy a little bit here and there. But he went on to say that he thinks the future of Formula One is in good hands with drivers like Carlos Sainz, Verstappen. He singled out Lando Norris and George Russell as well. I think the future of Formula One looks good. And it does bring me back to like last week when one of our listeners said that they thought Verstappen might be the best driver never to win a world championship. It's been bouncing around my little head forever that. I think he might be onto something unless something seriously happens, because I think if Formula One does what Formula One is trying to do, these new rules are trying to stop a single team. Like they're trying to grind the rules down to a point where a team can't run away with a championship. Now, is this, when we look back on it, and especially coming out of Baku with that tyre explosion for Max Verstappen, are we going to look at this as this was the year that Max could have been world champion? Because it's people keep turning around and saying, oh, well, he's so young, but there seems to be a certain amount of time that people can stay in Formula One before their heads start to drop, where they can keep doing. Because this is the thing, even if you do something really good, let's think of it in porn stars. That's a good way to break this down. Everybody, regardless of what your sexual orientation is, everybody loves a bit of Nicky. All of us. Every one of us. It's one of our favourite things. It's inbuilt in us. But when you watch... like documentaries about porn stars and stuff like that. I'm a sucker for a documentary about porn. Don't know what it is. Like these girls and guys are fucking broken by the end of it. And they don't have a relationship like we do with that sort of thing. Formula One, I think, would be the same. Just dragging it back in. is that you can't, even something that you really, really enjoy doing it, if you do it week in, week out, day after day after day, and you are not only just doing the same thing all the time, but you're building your life around that one thing, I can understand how it gets a bit much. And it makes me wonder whether that's these young guys that are coming into Formula One, especially Max Verstappen. He's so young. When you know, it's like comparable in age to like Lando and George and Charles, but he's been around the block. He's an established Formula One driver. We're only looking at people like George Russell and Lando as being established now. It was only because of how well Lando's doing this year. I think he's sealing his place in Formula One, for a long time. But we know Max Verstappen's going to be on the grid for a long time. So what happens? Do people like him and Carlos that have been here for a while, instead of hitting the ceiling of wanting to get out of Formula One at 40, will he be at 33 going, I can't see myself being in Formula One past 36. So will these young guys end up retiring earlier? And that brings me back to whether Max Verstappen is going to look back at this year and think, oh, it was my opportunity. It was my opportunity when I only had Lewis to worry about. Now it's like 2023 or something like that, where the rules have worked, and he's got like Lewis maybe still, George maybe next to Lewis, Lando in McLaren with maybe Daniel Ricciardo, maybe somebody else by then, title contending. Who knows what Aston Martin will be doing at that point. There's teams there that want to challenge and will hopefully have the opportunity to challenge. Ferrari, obviously Ferrari aren't going to stay where they are. They're going to be title contenders again at some point. Is Max going to look back on this and think, that was the year and it was the tyre blow-up that really fucked it for me? But Lewis, Formula One, it's strange, isn't it, when you get somebody like Lewis. I remember Michael Schumacher retiring. It's strange to think about Formula One without somebody like Lewis Hamilton. I don't think it'll be disastrous for the sport. I don't think anyone leaving. I don't think it was disastrous when Schumacher left. I don't think it was disastrous when Senna died, as far as the sport goes, for people watching the sport. I think people still wanted to watch the sport. I don't think people stopped watching just because Ayrton Senna wasn't there anymore. It's obviously, by saying I don't think it's disastrous, it doesn't mean I think it was a good thing. I just don't think it affected like the long-term viewership of Formula One. I don't think anybody retiring or dying or turning into a pure being of pure energy and joining the sun, I don't think any of that really matters as far as Formula One goes. George Russell. There's two George Russell things here. I will start off, because this was an actual article, and we'll talk about that, and then lead into the speculation. George Russell does not believe that if he fails to score a point with Williams in 2021, it will be a failure of a season. I've only really brought this up because it leads me into the speculation bit in the middle. I didn't just want to open by saying, a guy fucking passed me a piece of paper in a pub, and that said, speak to this guy, and he said this about George Russell. I totally agree with him. If George Russell doesn't score a point this year, it's not because he's not capable of doing it. It's because the car is fucking dreadful, isn't it? It's not as dreadful as it's been, we don't think. It looks like a better Formula One car. Apparently, they have changed the barge boards, or not barge boards. They've changed part of that car to make it less sensitive, less peaky in aero. I think they fucked that concept, to be perfectly honest. They had this, it makes me wonder whether they passed the races already, where they thought they could be competitive, and they weren't quite as competitive as they thought they might have been if they just built a car for those circuits. So hopefully that will fix some of the problems that George Russell's had. Probably won't. It's probably going to end up down there with the asses for the rest of the year. But what one thing I did find was interesting was when he was talking about it not being a like a big deal. He did say psychologically, like coming home with like a 13th is difficult to is difficult to take as a good result, because but some days coming home 13 is the absolute maximum they can do. But you know, these guys have they've been in like motor racing for years, especially George Rossi. He's been like a winning machine if you look back at his old career. So it's I think it's tremendous the commitment he can keep up, to be perfectly honest. I thought this when his car broke at Baku, when he was stopping the marshals because he wanted to get underneath and have a look at what was going on with it. So when he got back to the garage, he could say, listen, guys, I saw this, this, and this. So the just that level of commitment, even when he knows he probably can't score points, I think he'll be an absolute phenomenon when he gets in a good car. He did turn around and say, like, that points for us is effectively a win for McLaren. If McLaren goes the whole season without winning a race, do you think McLaren would consider that season a failure? I think that's bang on. It's such a good attitude to have, and I hadn't thought about it that way until I read it. You know, it's McLaren having a great season this year. I do genuinely believe that Lando Norris is going to find a win at some point this year. He's just the guy that's there waiting. At some point, Lewis and Max are going to take themselves out. That is absolutely going to happen 100%. I can't wait, because the fireworks are going to be amazing. Bottas, I think, is a fading force. And for what I'm going to say in a minute, I think it's only going to get worse for him over the year. Perez is there, so you know he could be the guy that capitalizes on it. But the consistently this year, the guy that seems to be in the positions to capitalize when something goes wrong with the big teams is Lando Norris. And I do think he's going to get an opportunity. Maybe Monza. I think McLaren are going to be really, really competitive in Monza. So I look forward to him hopefully slamming a bottle of champagne on top of the top step of the podium. Back to George Russell. The rumor that's floating around is that's been reported by Sky Italy and a few other like independent F1 journalists. It's not been on the likes of Autosport yet, but I feel that things like this have to creep up through some of the guys which are more willing to take a risk than places like Autosport. But apparently, come Silverstone, which as it stands at the moment will be a full Grand Prix with a capacity of like half or something like that, I think. I don't think it's quite a full house. Why you can't have racing, even with the virus that shall not be named, I don't understand why you can't have that outside. Outside transmission appears to be very low. Cut fucking hospitality. Like, socially distance people at bars. Don't have tents. Like, half capacity with spaced seating and stuff like that. I don't understand why we can't have some people at Silverstone. It will be a real shame if we can't. But we're all going to find out what's going on in the UK. What's happening to England? Sorry, technically I'm part of the UK, but we kind of blaze our own path. Yeah, we're going to find out what's going on for you guys in England tomorrow, I believe. So that will show us what's going on with Silverstone. But the idea is that apparently Mercedes are going to confirm Lewis Hamilton and George Russell for next year. And my, am I excited about the idea of that. I think Lewis is going to have his hands full with George Russell. That is especially starting to, if he was to come in, this is why I think it might be better off if Bottas stays there this year for George. Because if George was to come into Formula One, he would win a race. I fucking guarantee that. This year he would win a Grand Prix. But his job will be, look, you can't win the world championship. Lewis is going to win the world championship. You need to come in as a supporting driver. That might not be the best thing for George Russell. The best thing for George Russell might be coming in at the beginning of next year, and this is why I think anybody can change teams next year, even joining Red Bull next year wouldn't be a bad idea, because they can't build cars for one person. They're just going to have to build a good form. I mean, don't get me wrong, they might develop the car for the other driver through the course of the season. But when you've got such a big rule change, they don't know what the differences are going to be. So they can't, it's not like that Max can say, I need more rear end, I need it to be more on the nose, because they could develop a car on a wish where the person that's wishing for it doesn't quite know what they want. So for George to join next year, I think it's the perfect time for anybody to overthrow their teammate. And yeah, I would have, if George goes to Mercedes next year, I would have a cheeky fiver on him winning the world championship. A cheeky fiver. And maybe next year, that would be the time when Lewis decided to either leave Formula One if someone comes into his team that gives him some hassle. Maybe he decides to go somewhere else. Maybe he decides to go to Ferrari, try and turn Ferrari around before he leaves Formula One. But I do like the idea of the only, I can't think of anything more exciting, to be perfectly honest. Maybe Max, a Max Lewis partnership would be interesting. I think it would be unworkable, but I think it would be interesting. This is why I think whoever said last week that maybe Max Verstappen won't win a world championship, this is why I think he might be right, because I think George Russell is better than Max Verstappen. And if George can get himself in a competitive car, I think that means Verstappen might find himself always with a Lewis Hamilton. I mean, Lando Norris as well. There's people inside Formula One believe that just the way he drives, there is a bigger there's a bigger element for improvement than there is with Max Verstappen. I don't know if this is fucking driver coaches talking. They know their shit. I'm just repeating that shit because I want it to be correct. And if you keep saying something long enough, you manifest it into reality. That's the rules. I can't fight science. But yeah, George Russell to Mercedes would be fucking great. Quick clarification on the Mazepin biz. People have been saying Mazepin has to join the Russian army. It turns out that this has been a mistake. It seems to be a mistake the people that have been reporting this have just got what this whole Russian National Service thing is. Apparently there's two types. There's quite a lot to read here, so I'm going to try and paraphrase it. It might be right. I'm going to try and get it as right as I understand it. So if I do get it wrong, just fucking correct me. I'm sorry. I'm not Russian. I have no intention of joining any army. Everyone has to do from the between 18 and 27, like a year's national subscription, but there are two different types. It's mandatory, but there's two ways of serving it. You either go into a year's service in the Russian army, or they have something called the elite army, which is where if you do something like particularly well, like science or entertainment, or I don't know, fucking Formula One, you can opt to do this extra thing. So instead of doing a year's national subscription, you do 3 years where you study one day a week, and you essentially become what they call a reserve officer. But it specializes differently. Like Mazepin is doing economy and language. So he's already been doing this for 2 years. So he has to do another like year of day release, essentially. So Mazepin's not going to evaporate and go and join the army. It's not going to happen. I'm terribly sorry for all you people out there which despise Mazepin. I think if he doesn't pick himself up, he probably doesn't deserve in Formula One. And this is a bad sort of it's a bad look for Formula One. I think both Mazepin and if Mazepin had come in and been good, it wouldn't have mattered so much how he got there. But it's when you've got two guys like Stroll and Mazepin, which if you take their money and fathers away, they have absolutely no place being in Formula One. Then it's not a good look, is it? But he's going to be here for a long time. I still don't think there's I don't think it's a ridiculous guess to say that not only is he going to be in Formula One for a while, even next year he might be in Formula One driving a Mazepin Grand Prix car as well. That'd be quite cool, to be perfectly honest, to have, you know, back in the days where people used to have like enter teams into Formula One with their names. So it might be quite cool to have like a player manager on the field. But all I'm saying is don't get excited about Mazepin disappearing. Alonso has said that the last couple of races have flattered his rivals, pointing out that he feels Ferrari have benefited most from this. He expects to be more competitive, all that sort of jazz. But I just really brought this up because of the Ferrari thing. Do you think that Ferrari have leaped themselves into being best of the rest after like getting two pole positions and strong finishes? Or do you think that do you think they're best of the rest, or do you think that they're not best of the rest? And they're probably in around the mid-grid. McLaren might jump ahead of them, and they'll be battling Alpine and Aston Martin. I think so. I don't think Ferrari have all of a sudden fixed it in the same way as I don't think all of a sudden Mercedes have drifted backwards. We might as well have a little conversation about competitive order in a bit, because I got a question about that, actually. But yeah, I just think that Ferrari are such a dominant force that you just expect them to be up there. So when they're up there, they're used to it. But I don't think the circuits, like the more classic tracks we're going to, are gonna suit Ferrari. Fernando Alonso did say at the end, which I quite liked, it's the things that keep repeating every weekend. He said, because people were saying I was struggling a lot and comparing me to other drivers that have changed teams this year, like Daniel Ricciardo. I don't think that's fair, because there is a very big difference on their struggles compared to what I'm having. I was never worried because I knew it was just a matter of time. So Alonso's kind of pointing out there that he thinks he's on top of this car, and he thinks he's back on top of, like, on top of his teammate. And I hope he is. And I just thought I'd throw that in because it's a bit of good Alonso news. Anyway, to your questions, I didn't give you much chance for questions this weekend after that fucking haul of questions we had last year. Anyway, from Chad Champion on Twitter. Now we're going to more normal tracks. Will Hamilton just run away with another championship gradually, like 2017, 2018, or does Max have a solid chance of winning it? Also, do you think Red Bull have gone all out on this year's car development more than others? I'm not sure it's just Red Bull that have gone. We'll answer that first. I'm not sure it's just Red Bull that have gone all out. Let's not forget that they're actually running like 2022 spec parts on their car, which is it's a really good sign if they can keep that up, because you know Red Bull are going into such odd territory. I believe they've hired 50 engine staff from up and down the grid. 50, that's a lot of people to be doing. You know, it's that, let's not forget that car next year is going to be a Red Bull punts powered by Red Bull, given wings by Red Bull. That is absolutely going to be tied into marketing somewhere, isn't it? So yeah, I'm not sure on the development side of it, because realistically the development at the beginning of the year, this part of the year, isn't a huge surprise. What would be surprising if they was to carry on developing the car like past the mid-season break, which is when I think most teams will call a day on this year, and focus fully towards 2022. On the Lewis Hamilton front, I don't know. I can't quite work it out. If Lewis hadn't have finished the race last weekend, and he finished out of the points, and Verstappen would have won it, I think that might have been too big a point difference to overhaul unless something drastic happened. I think Verstappen could have nursed that lead over the course of the season if he chose to. On the other hand, I do wonder whether Mercedes will be better at more tracks than Red Bull, and we are going to look back at that race and go, that was the one Verstappen lost the world championship in Baku because his tyre blew up. So I hope not. We will know in three races, I think, in these next like back-to-back-to-back races, we're going to know how the championship's going to go. If Lewis wins all three, yeah, it's game over, isn't it? Even if he wins two, to be perfectly honest. If Verstappen comes second and wins one, I think it's going to just prove the fact that over the course of a season, Lewis is probably going to like get more big results out of his car. The advantage Red Bull have, and I think this is a huge advantage as well, probably more important than car. So I'll contradict myself here by saying that Max might have lost the race in Baku, my championship in Baku. But they have two drivers, so it's going to be where Valtteri can be as well. Valtteri has to be up there. He has to be up there within a couple of seconds of the leaders. He can't just drift back, especially if Perez has sorted himself out. And he is going to... It's just the complete opposite of number two drivers, isn't it? You've got Bottas, which appears to be in the bin, just come off Baku, couldn't even get up onto the podium with a car that was capable of it, couldn't get into the points with the car he had, just off it all race, desperately hoping when they were sending the car back. I take it there was nothing wrong with that car because we didn't hear anything about it all week, and he was desperate to get that car back so they could find out what the problem was, find out why he wasn't fast, and it appears to be because he just wasn't fast. But what happens to a championship if you've got two drivers on one for the whole year? It's something Lewis hasn't had. Like I said, Lewis hasn't actually been challenged for a world championship since Rosberg. He's never been challenged for one of the championships he's won by two drivers, really. There's all, you know, even the close championships he had with Sebastian Vettel, he was fighting Vettel and a wounded Kimi. So if Perez is up there, ready to take podiums, ready to take points off Lewis, maybe Lewis can't win this championship unless that car is significantly faster than the Red Bull. But we, like I say, we're going to find this out, I think, over the next three races. The next three races are probably the most, for us, just wanting to enjoy Formula One. You know, I'm not a Lewis Hamilton fan. I'm not a Max Verstappen fan. I've really got no skin in the game with who wins this world championship. So I just want a nice close fight. And maybe them take each out a couple of times. You know, I want maximum drama. And whoever comes out at the end, fucking, I will doff my cap to whichever one you are. And I want Lando to win a race at some point. That's all I really want. So, I've no idea. Logic would dictate that Lewis Hamilton will win this world championship. Mercedes haven't forgot how to win world championships. He's the best driver on the grid, I think. He's at least, I think, the best driver in a top team and the best driver fighting for the world championship. I think he's better than Verstappen. Even if you put them in the same car, I think Lewis would still win. But how does he do that against a guy which is almost as good as him? Don't get me wrong. Like, Verstappen is so close to the level Lewis Hamilton is at. I think he's maybe a bit more emotional than Lewis. I think Lewis seems to be able to keep himself cooler. And it's something he couldn't do when he was Max Verstappen's age, but when he'd been in Formula One for the same amount of time Max has been in, he couldn't do that. So it's something that I think will come to Max. But yeah, I think Lewis is just the all-round more mature, more complete driver. Like what we used to say about Fernando Alonso, he is a complete Formula One driver. But we'll have to see over the next few races, as I keep fucking repeating myself, and I will stop doing that immediately. Got some questions on Instagram. This is from M. I mean, what's with these names? Strijk. No fucking idea. M, we'll call you. Well done with your work with James Bond. What are you going to do to keep yourself entertained for the French Grand Prix? I think the French Grand Prix will be fine. I think it will be entertaining enough to where we, you know, it's fine. I don't think it's going to be like a real snooze fest that we've had before. So I still stand by that. We're kind of in a slightly different place going to France this year. If the Mercedes and Red Bull are close, we will have a good race. That's as simple as that. But if one of them runs away with it, yeah, we're obviously going to have a terrible France. There's still DRS zones. You know, there's still, if one of the cars is close enough to get a good slipstream, and that Mercedes was good in a slipstream last weekend. You know, we're used to saying the Mercedes can't follow other cars, but seemed to be the best car at following. I think that's interesting. It's almost like they knew they were going to have more of a challenge this year and knew they had to do something. Last comment is from Ankit Dandu. Whatevs. Why can't you just be called James? If McLaren becomes the team to beat next year, will it be close between Norris and Ricciardo? Or do you think one will win convincingly? Ooh, I don't know. I mean, from right now, you would go, yeah, well, Lando's going to fucking spank him, isn't he? And that was the thing for Ricciardo last weekend. Ricciardo looked like he got his head around it, and he looked like he was going to do it. But it actually turned out in qualifying, Lando, up until his final race, and probably, to be perfectly honest, on his final lap, underperformed slightly to what the car could do. And the Ricciardo resurgence just doesn't seem to have happened yet. You know, he was at sea in the race. So I don't know. I don't quite know where Ricciardo goes from this. And if he can't do something this year, how do you recover from that? How do you recover? I don't know. I don't know how you recover from that. If he just does a year where he's spanked by the future of Formula One, or one of the futures of Formula One, I would predict that once he's been in McLaren for a whole year and they go into next season, which is going to be kind of a reset, I think we'll get a decent Daniel Ricciardo. I still think there's a world championship in Ricciardo if he's given the machinery, but I also think there's a world championship in Lando. Logic would dictate Ricciardo could get on top of it. But also, he is going to be the aging Formula One driver up against the guy which has got less to lose. You know, it's Lando. If Lando beats Ricciardo this year, if all of a sudden Ricciardo beats Lando over the course of a year, what's happened? A young teammate was beaten by a slightly more experienced teammate. But if Lando does it again, if Lando beats Daniel Ricciardo next year, that I think Daniel's done, if I'm perfectly honest. I think that'll kind of be the end, because especially if he, like, the beginning of the year, if he's still X amount of seconds behind behind Norris, you know, he is hemorrhaging points for McLaren right now. There's no ifs or buts about it. The two guys that are doing worse as far as compared to teammates this year appear to be, or struggling the most, appear to be Daniel Ricciardo and Valtteri Bottas. We want Valtteri Bottas to lose his seat and let a younger guy in. So the only reason we wouldn't be saying the same thing about Daniel Ricciardo this year is because we like Daniel Ricciardo more. and I want him to do well. But if he can't over the course of a season, I think he'll be in threat of losing his seat. And that has been a just under 50-minute Hot Lap podcast. Thank you so much for joining me. Do all the stuff I said at the beginning of the podcast when it comes to like the following and sharing and subscribing. Do all that stuff. Do every single one of them. And I will be back to you after we have enjoyed the French Grand Prix. Goodbye, my friends.
Find more great shows or join the team at sport-social.co.uk.
Podcast Network.